be reading from Psalm chapter 85, 1 through 10. O Lord, you showed favor to your land. You restored the captivity of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people. You covered all their sin. You withdrew all your fury. You turned away from your burning anger. Restore us, O Lord, of our salvation, and cause your indignation toward us to cease. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not yourself revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your loving kindness, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will say, for he will speak peace to his people, to his godly ones. But let them not turn back to folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory they may dwell in our land. Loving kindness and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other.
Good morning. Been a long time since I've been up here. For those of you who are visitors, I'm not the regular preacher. We are between preachers, and we are at this point looking, and those of us who are willing are filling in the pulpit from time to time. I'm going to start with a song. That's something I don't do very often either. 189, please.
Master, the tempest is raging, the billows are tossing high. The sky is o'ershadowed with darkness, no shelter or help is nigh. Carest thou not that we perish? How canst thou lie asleep? When each moment so madly is threatening, a grave in the angry deep. The winds and the waves shall obey thy will. Peace be still. Whether the wrath of the storm toss thee, or demons or men or whatever it be, no water can swallow the ship where lies the master of ocean and earth and sky. They all shall sweetly obey thy will. Peace be still. Peace be still, they all shall sweetly obey thy will. Peace, peace be still. Master, with anguish of spirit, I bow in my grief today. The depths of my sad heart are troubled. Awaken and save, I pray. Torrents of sin and of anguish sweep o'er my sinking soul, and whithersoe'er I perish, dear Master, oh, hasten and take control. The winds and the waves shall obey thy will. Peace be still. Whether the wrath of the storm toss thee, or demons or men or whatever it be, no water can swallow the ship where lies the master of ocean and earth and sky. They all shall sweetly obey thy will. Peace be still, peace be still. They all shall sweetly obey thy will. Peace, peace be still. Master, the terror is over, the elements sweetly rest. Her son in the calm lake is mirrored, and heaven's within my breast. Linger, O blessed Redeemer, leave me alone no more, and with joy I shall make the blessed harbor, and rest on the peaceful shore. The winds and the waves shall obey thy will. Peace. Whether the wrath of storm tossed sea, or demons or men or whatever it be. No water can swallow the ship where lies the master of ocean and earth and sky. They all shall sweetly obey thy will. Peace be still, peace be still. They all shall sweetly obey my will. Peace, peace, be still.
I suppose I should offer an invitation now. No, I'm just kidding. Thank you. I love that song, and I hope it will help to set the point for what we're going to be talking about today. I am going to be talking about peace. First thing I want to do is define peace. And it's actually working. And I'm going to give you some definitions in several places. I have a definition from my dictionary which says, peace is the absence of war or other hostilities. It's an agreement or a treaty to end hostilities. It's a freedom from quarrels and disagreements. It is harmonious relations. It is public security and order. It is inner contentment, serenity. It is used as a greeting or a farewell. How long has somebody said peace as you were coming or leaving? The Hebrew word is the word that we probably have all heard, shalom. It's the same Hebrew word that it was back in the Old Testament was written. And it's the word that's used today. And it means peace, safeness, happiness, friendliness, welfare, health, prosperity. It means peace. The Greek word is eirene. Now, some of you may not know that the New Testament was written in Greek. And the Greek word is just as literally and figuratively the word peace as we have today. It's an almost exact translation across. Peace is a condition of freedom from disturbance, whether outward or inward. As a nation from war or inwardly within the soul, God has promised us peace. But God has also promised us war. Can they both be true? Can it both be right? Look around you today and see the wars that are going on. Afghanistan, anybody have to tell you about that one? Libya, Egypt has just finished a war. There's wars going on all around this world, but they're not the only wars. Some of our brothers and sisters and some people that we know are having wars between their ears. They're battling with themselves. They fight with themselves about what they want to do and what they ought to do and what they are doing. It's a huge war. And it's very difficult to fight and more difficult to win. There's also the peace that God promises us and the war that's going on that's the one that we here usually consider. Satan has declared that your soul is his. God has declared that your soul is his. It's kind of like Satan pulling on one arm and God pulling on the other and just about being torn apart. It's a war. It's a war that we sometimes forget is going on. But it is a war. It's a war for your soul, for my soul, for all of our souls. Now with these thoughts in mind, I'd like to talk to you about the kinds of peace that I see that exist. The kinds of peace that God wants us to have and the ways to receive those peace. I have a reason for this. My objective is to help us to all understand and more fully understand the peace that God wants us to have, to help us to get it, to keep it, to hold on to it, and to share it with others. When we talk about peace, we need to understand that there is peace as in between man and man. Jesus in Luke 12 starting in verse 51 says, do you suppose that I came to grant peace on earth? I tell you no, but rather division. For from now on, five members of a household will be divided. Father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. It's not peace. It doesn't sound like peace. It is war. This is a kind of war that's between man and man. The peace that is, this is the peace that is a lack of war, that is a lack of war and the war that is a lack of peace. We don't have control over this kind of peace between nation and nation. Unless you are the emperor of a nation, you have no control over whether or not that nation is going to war.
We're at war with Afghanistan. Some of our brothers and sisters in this body are over in Afghanistan right now fighting. And I hope every one of us is praying for them every time you get on your knees, every time you open your mouth to God. Because they want them, they need it, and those families and those mothers and fathers would love to have it also. That is something we have no control over, that kind of a war. But there are other wars that are man against man. The one that's mentioned right here where Jesus says he comes to set family member against family member. That one we can control. I can control my actions, my activities, my mind, and my thought process to the point where I don't have a war in my family. I'm not perfect, and I bet neither are you. And probably every one of us from time to time gets into an argument with your wife, your husband, your kids, your parents. It happens. Usually the reason it happens is somebody is being stubborn. Somebody knows the right thing to do and won't do it. Or somebody doesn't know the right thing to do and won't learn it. That's usually why there's family arguments and family disagreements. That's usually for the reasons for divorces, for separations, for frustrations of all of those kinds. It's the reason people lose jobs. It's the reason that all of those kinds of things happen. Because peace between man and man is possible if we're not talking about national wars. Grade school fights and bullies and such, that's all that same kind. We have an incomplete obedience to our laws. Incomplete obedience? Well, Paul says, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Well, that means, number one, I can't control how you think. So I will be at peace with you as far as I can. But I can't be at peace with you as far as you can. We have to both be at peace with each other. There's also the fact that the country that we're living in may pass some laws that say the way you're living is illegal. I think that most of us are aware that there are countries in the world today where we can go, and if we are visiting, we haven't got a problem. But if we talk to somebody else about Jesus, we can be arrested. In some of them, we can be executed. For talking about Jesus to somebody. It's a shame, but it's true. You can lose your life for doing that. That law is not in the United States. Yet. I hope it never is. But being a democracy, we are at the mercy of the whim of the mass. If the masses decide that Christianity is evil, that law may happen here as well. So why did Jesus come to bring a sword instead of peace? Think about this for a second. Paul, in his efforts to go out and teach the gospel to people, lists what happened to him. Are they servants of Christ? I'm in 2 Corinthians 11, if you'd like to follow. Are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane. I more so. Far more in labors, far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rod. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have spent in the deep. I have been frequently on journeys in dangers from rivers, in dangers from robbers, in dangers from my countrymen, in dangers from Gentiles, dangers from city, dangers from wilderness, dangers in the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. He was persecuted for his Christianity. Well, at least we don't have to suffer or worry about that, right? Well, Paul, in 2 Timothy 3, says, indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. What is that persecution? You know, I think Satan hides the persecution from us. Sometimes we're persecuted and sometimes we aren't. Satan wants us to be complacent. He has seen that the people in the New Testament times that were persecuted stood more firmly, held their ground better, drove in an anchor and held on to it and refused to be moved. That was something that happened when there was outright persecution. Satan's persecution is a lot more subtle today. You may not get a promotion that you should have gotten. Some guy at work might spurn you that you would like to have as a friend. Little things happen that you don't expect to have happen. Things that shouldn't happen. This is the kind of persecution that we have today. We're told to live in our families in peace. When we're talking about in peace between man and man, you also know that we have here as a family relationships between man and man. Not long ago, we selected some elders. Here's a passage in 1 Timothy 3:3 that talks about not selecting an elder that's pugnacious. Anybody know what pugnacious means? Not a word that's used a lot today. I see a hand. Yeah, it's easy to look it up in the dictionary. A pugnacious person is a pugilist. Anybody know that one? That's a boxer, folks. If you look in some of the older translations, it says don't choose an elder who's a striker. Some of them say brawler. This is a person that hits people. This is a person with fists who uses them. That's what pugnacious is. And it says when you choose an elder, don't choose a pugnacious person. Don't choose somebody that his discipline style is punch him out. I'm kind of glad. I know I get into the elder's skin once in a while. This is a form of peace. Peace between man and man can happen. You know, it's not the main peace that God talked about. And when we think about peace, there's a second type that we're going to talk about here. That's the peace between man and self, or woman and self for that matter. This is emotional warfare. Emotional warfare. People are at war with themselves. They find themselves, you've heard people say, I'm of two minds about it. That's exactly what that is. One thought is this, one thought is that, and you cannot come to an agreement in your own mind. The problem is that some people have that with everything. They just cannot get their mind settled down about anything. There are people who may do this because they have a medical condition called depression. Depression is a horrible disease. It does things to your mind that you need not have done to your mind. There are medications and chemicals which help, but nothing solves it. It is there forever. Other people have this because Satan is whispering in their ear, telling them things that they want to hear but don't need to hear. Other people have it because somebody, some friend or some neighbor is whispering in the air. Probably Satan's whispering in the air too. But trying to teach them how to do things. We have, where I work, I'm very fortunate and there's very little in the way of office politics going on where I work. But every once in a while you hear somebody say, what we ought to do is so-and-so is, and then you know it's something that I better plug my ears for, but it's not really something I want to hear. But being at a point where your mind is of two minds, there's the problem of some people whose mind, they live basically in a canyon. Their mind is, no matter what is said, they're not worthy. No matter what is done, they don't deserve it. Everything is bad, and that isn't bad is worse. They're living in the depths of a canyon. You might call it a rut. And to get out of that rut or that canyon, they need somebody to reach over the edge and try to help them out. Because when they've tried to climb out, they've found that the sides of that thing are so soft that they can't get out and they fall back in, and not only are they in the canyon still, now they're dirty and muddy and tired. They need somebody to reach over and reach them a hand and pull them out. They need somebody to drop a ladder. They need somebody to climb back in and help push them out. That someone might be you. It might be me. It might be God. Doesn't matter who it is. They have to have somebody that they can reach that hand and get them pulled out. Because living in that canyon, in that depth, in that war with themselves, in that hatred of themselves will kill them. Spiritually, emotionally, they will die. And it's something that we cannot have. As far back as Leviticus 19:18, God says, love your neighbor as yourself. How can you love your neighbor if you can't love yourself? God repeats that a few times. He says it three times in Matthew, He says it in Mark, in Romans, in Galatians, and in James. With that much repetition, you might get the idea he's serious about it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love yourself. Don't hate yourself. If you're at war with yourself, find the way to solve it. Find the friend that'll do it. Find the encourager. If you look in Acts 5, near the end of the chapter, 4, near the end of the chapter, it says that the people were selling something, everything they owned, and laying at the apostles' feet. And it says a man named Joseph came to them, sold a tract of land that he had, and gave the money to them. And his name was called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He was a man that went around encouraging other people. We need some Barnabases here. We need some Barnabases everywhere. We need people that go around encouraging other people and telling them they can do it. And they are doing it. And that they should see the little successes as successes, not as little. We need encouragers. We need Barnabases. That way we can overcome the war between you and yourself. The war that's between your ears. The war that's killing you emotionally. And probably causing harm to your friends and your family. But this also isn't the main piece that God promised. Because there is a third kind of warfare, and that's the warfare between God and man. As I mentioned at the beginning, Satan is pulling on one side, God's pulling on the other, and there's a war going on. Somebody is going to get pulled apart. If you don't know there's a war going on, then when I talk to you about the promise of peace that God has for you, you won't see any attraction for it. People that don't see the war don't want the solution. They don't need the peace. They don't see the war. You know, it's one of those things that you have to look for to see sometimes. Satan is a master of disguise. If he can make you feel like all is well, he's going to do it. During the time of Jeremiah, there were prophets running around saying, "Peace, peace." And Jeremiah says, "There is no peace." Then they were looking at physical warfare. The Assyrian Empire was about to attack. And they were saying, "Peace, peace." There is no peace. Don't let somebody tell you that there's peace right now. There's a war going on between your soul, your heart, and the Lord God and Satan. They are trying to get you both. Which one are you going to go to? Which one are you going to lean for? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." How many things have become new? All things. What do you mean by all things? Well, who owns your truck? Who owns your car, your boat? Who owns your house? Who owns your fishing rod? Hey, who owns your fishing rod? Hard to remember sometimes. The little things. Who owns my grandchildren? Yeah. But the ones that we forget is this. Who owns your attitudes? I do not have the right to tell somebody a lie. I do not have the right to something that God says it's wrong. I do not have the right to tell you something that God says is wrong. And if I do, I will be condemned for telling it. And neither do you. God's demand to you, His request to you, His pleading to you is to be His child. Give Him yourself. And everything about you. A new creature? You may look in the mirror and see the same being, but look in the mirror of the soul, you better be seeing something different. From the day before you became a Christian till the day after you became a Christian, you better be seeing something different. This peace is available to those who are in Christ. 1 Peter 5:14. Peace to all of you who are in Christ. What is it to those of you who are not in Christ? No peace. Satan may tell you you have peace. He may do his dead level best to make you feel the peace. But it's not there. If you stand before God today, He's going to say, I never knew you. The promise is this one. Be anxious in nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. When you stand before Him, you will have that peace of knowing, this is a final test, and I'm going to pass. There's no ABC, it's pass or fail, and I'm going to pass. That's all there is to it. What is it that can separate us from Christ if we are in Christ? What is going to separate us from Christ? Romans 8:35, another one of my favorites. Will tribulation or distress, persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? But in all these things, Greek says we are overwhelmingly conquering. Not conquerors. We are conquering. Present active indicative, continually going on. We are overwhelmingly conquering through Him who loved us. I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, neither things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. And amen. If you want the peace that passes understanding, if you want the peace of God, the one that's going to make you pass in the final day, you need to be in Christ. You need to make your life such that you are living the way He wants you to. That's being a new being, a new creature, a new attitude, a new action, a new person. Are you ready for that? None of us want death and war. All of us want life and peace. Jesus has given us everything we need to have that. But you have to take a hold of it. You have to reach out, grab it, climb on board, and take the ride. Because you have an entire life ahead of you. Your life may be longer or shorter than mine. It doesn't matter. You have a life ahead of you. It is time to make your life right with God so that the life that you live is going to be the one that's going to please Him. I don't care if it pleases you. And you ought not to care if it pleases you. Your goal is to please God. That's the goal. So I've looked this morning at the subject of peace. I've said there's three kinds. There's peace between man and man. There's peace between man and self. There's peace between man and God. If there's a way that we can help you to gain that peace between man and God, a way that we can help you to be the one that you want to be, if you feel you're not there or you haven't started, we want to help you do that. We'd like to do it now while we stand together and sing.